The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. After a long, hard day of saving souls, I like to relax by reading Amor Towles, A Gentleman in Moscow. At the beginning of part four, the protagonist, Alexander Rostov, is reflecting on how quickly his adopted daughter Sophia, has grown up. And by contrast, how he himself is growing older. We usually say, "Wow, our kids are getting so much older, but we're staying exactly the same." But that's not entirely true, is it? Count Rostov muses. Perhaps it is a matter of celestial balance, a sort of cosmic equilibrium. Perhaps the aggregate experience of time is a constant. And thus, for our children to establish such vivid impressions of this particular June, we must relinquish our claims upon it. And then his friend Vasily sums it up, saying, "So that they might remember, we must forget." In other words, life is like a seesaw. As our children go up, we adults go down. Or as St. John the Baptist memorably put it, "Jesus must increase and I must decrease." And that equilibrium is a good thing. Let me give you a saintly example of this cosmic equilibrium. I went to seminary with a remarkable athlete named Tom Vanderwoody. He played all sports well, but he was especially skilled as a quarterback. And he moved like Patrick Mahomes. Although watching the Chiefs lately, Tom would move better than Patrick Mahomes. Tom was ordained a priest in 1992 and is the oldest of seven boys, one of whom, Joseph, has Down syndrome. In 2008, Joseph fell into a toxic sewage tank. And Joseph's father, also named Tom, without hesitation, jumped into the tank after him. Battling deadly fumes, Tom pushed his son to the surface and kept him alive, even as poison overwhelmed Tom's own lungs. Tom died moments after saving his son. Tom Vanderwoody would heroically maintained this celestial balance. His son Joseph increased while Tom decreased. In the gospel today, John the Baptist wonders, like Count Rostov, has the time come to restore the cosmic equilibrium so that people would remember Jesus and forget about John? Hence, John sends some disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" In other words, is it time for me to decrease and for you to increase? That question uttered in chapter 11 today would be the last words of John the Baptist recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus answers John by pointing to his miracles of healing and his message of salvation to the poor. That is, it was indeed time for John's side of the seesaw of life to go down as the precursor, so that Jesus' side of the seesaw could go up as the Messiah. My friends, let me give you some examples of how we too must maintain this celestial balance, the cosmic equilibrium of sacrificing ourselves so that our kids can rise above the toxic sewage of our modern culture. My generation has created artificial intelligence, a truly amazing achievement. But it is sometimes called the last invention, because AI will beat the slower human mind to future inventions. But will AI truly give the next generation, our children, lives that are happier, healthier, and holier? I often ask high school and college students what their major is, or what career path they are pursuing. Why do I ask? Well, because they will need to find a job that is AI proof, or won't be easily replaced by robots. Of course, they can always become a priest or a nun, because an AI robot cannot save your soul. In other words, soon AI might become the toxic sewage of our modern society. And somehow, we must raise our children above it, like Tom Vanderwoody raised his son. And that may require a lot of sacrifice for us. Another example is in the midst of the Christmas season. And by the way, we start hearing Christmas music by October now. We all want to get memorable gifts for our children. But does filling their lives with more material clutter genuinely help them to mature and flourish as children of God? I will never forget Father George Tribus, my high school principal's definition of a man. A man is he who controls the animal within which he lives. Listen to that again. A man is he who controls the animal within which he lives. Instead of getting material gifts, let me suggest that we take a page out of the Vanderwoody family playbook, who had seven boys. That is, rather than more gifts, give your children another brother or sister. Easy for me to say, right? Although I have over 7,000 children. And if for some reason you cannot have children naturally, perhaps foster a child or adopt a child. Having a larger family, we raise our children above the toxic culture that is anti-children and anti-life. Another great gift you can give your children is to love their mother or father. In other words, work on your relationship as spouses. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and growing up, we fought all the time. My parents often complained, saying, "All we want in life is for our three children to get along and love each other." And I always remember thinking, well, All we want is for our parents to get along and love each other. When parents sacrificially love each other, they may feel like they decrease. But that is the only way their children increase and grow. You see, when Tom Vanderwoody jumped into that toxic tank to save his son, he was not doing something extraordinary or out of character, even heroic. Rather, such sacrifices were what he had been doing day in and day out as a husband and a father. He had been dying every day so his children could live. He raised them up every day, like he raised Joseph up in the tank. And that sacrificial love is how Tom Vanderwoody maintained Count Rostov's cosmic equilibrium. Praised be Jesus Christ.